Bomani Jones from ESPN, Right Time is the podcast. He's joining us now on the Heister Automotive Group hotline. Rand's making a face like it might not actually happen, but oh, here we are. There's Bomani. So, Bomani, we're kicking it like it's 2005, 2006, man, all day today. We got college realignment. Chris Clark's doing radio with me. I got David Smithfield calling in. I'm just waiting for some others. Where's Joe in Chapel Hill? Small,
yo,
and petty
David
Pat.
Smithfield called in and you answered?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, we're kicking
on
it old
purpose.
School.
Ask for him.
Old school. We're ready for it. So, yeah, man.
Chris, you ain't killed none of them kids yet.
No. This is, look, you got one rule. Stay off the news. So I don't actually get to choke him. I talk about it. I have said it before. I would love to see the light leave your eyes as I choke you to death. You are the worst. Yeah. But I don't get to do it.
That should humble Adam Gold. Chris Clark wanted to kill you more than any of those children.
I'm out.
I'm always here to shake the table,
taking
guys.
Knees. You're out. I'm out.
Take a knee.
I'm out.
I got to catch my breath
on that one. I got a little lightheaded on that one. So the ACC is screwed, right?
Yeah.
It's a wrap, right?
Well, it all depends on, like, screwed how. Because the way I see it is, the ACC is kind of in the comfortable position it always wants to be in. They're really content to be a okay football conference, mm-hmm. just enough football conference to pay for the basketball.
Yeah.
And they got enough football conference to pay for the basketball. So I kind of feel like they're okay, right? Swofford locked everybody in. They stuck in these deals. I guess the individual schools may feel like they're in a bad situation, but I don't see anything that's going on with the Big Ten to make me be like, yeah, I want to be a part of that.
Well, Clemson and Florida State want to be a part of whatever football, because these are all football moves, and it's about access. So if you can't compete on a financial level, you might as well join them, right? I mean, that's what UCLA and USC essentially
said. It's the beauty of UCLA playing a noon kickoff in Piscataway, New Jersey.
Oh, this is going to be glorious.
In November. It's going to be great.
Hold on. Are you ready for some great irony that only an ACC fan could appreciate?
Mm-hmm. Go on.
UCLA is officially the Maryland of the West. Because that's what they did.
We're broke.
Yep.
We need a check.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to give it to us. Okay, boom. There we go.
We'll do it.
We'll come over. Because you could say it's a football move. It's a bad football move for UCLA. They're going to be terrible in the Big Ten.
I agree with you. Maryland left the ACC because they were broke. Florida State is in the same position, whether they want to admit it or not. They're in a really bad financial spot. They've been that way for a few years now. And I could see them saying, all right, what do we got? What's the sliding scale of pain, right? It's the one thing. It's funny, in talking with Kelly, I'm like, so what's the deal with the contract? She's like, you can get out of any contract.
Yeah.
Any kind. Like, no contract is binding. Money will solve all the issues. It's just like, how much pain are you willing to put up with? How much pain are they willing to put up with? And we go from there. And I can see Florida State dealing
with that. We always ask, what's screw it money?
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Right. So for these schools, what is that that dollar amount? Because they have to have something in their mind. I don't believe, like, we are at a level right now, whether it's, you know, rotating college presidents, whether it's pandemic related and no one knows how to behave anymore. I don't know. But everybody has such a decreased level of trust. And we all just watched this alliance, which was built on trust, fall apart instantly because the Big Ten decided to get a knife and absolutely plunge it into the Pac-12. So
yeah.
I don't trust anybody. The days of collegial feelings between schools, because all these university presidents know each other and they all got together and they all kind of came up through the system. And it's over, man.
Well, here's the thing, man. Everybody, there's two daddies. One of them is ESPN and the other one is Fox.
Yes.
Right? And so my buddy Spencer, Spencer Hall at Channel 6, like, that's his thing. It's like, this just reeks of Fox. Because one thing you have to know about Fox is an LA-based company that is fascinated with Los Angeles. Like, mm-hmm. it is a big deal to them in that way. The Big Ten becomes more attractive than the Pac-10 would ever have a chance of being with having those two schools there when you add LA to it. Now, what I think about if I'm USC, because first of all, I don't know what a 16-team conference actually looks like. Like, I remember when the Conference USA tried this before and it was kind of ridiculous, but just as a notion and an idea, idea. I don't even understand how that is a conference. But what is going to happen, whether people realize it, is USC is going to take one long flight loss per year just because they have to go from way to hell over there to way to hell the other place. They are going to have maybe the best home field advantage in the Pac-12 because people are going to be taking them long flights to get out there. This is dumb. I just can't get past the idea that this is so dumb.
Do you think Lincoln Riley sticks around at Oklahoma? if he knew that I take this job.
He didn't want this.
And then I'm going to the Big Ten, and he has to play out exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Let's not overreact. The Big Ten has gotten better in the last 15 years.
Sure.
But, like, let's not pretend like the Big Ten is really this juggernaut. They are this financial juggernaut,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But past that, no, I don't. If I'm USC, I go back and look at our historical Rose Bowl record, and I have no reason to fear the Big Ten ever.
I was just talking about it from the position of I got to travel to Maryland.
I got to travel to Rutgers.
And like you said, you're going to take one of these weird travel losses. But I guess if the college football playoff is going to expand and all of this, USC will probably be okay with that too.
Yeah, and the Pac-12 also comes with weird travel losses, right?
This is true.
They're good to give up one in Corvallis, right? You might mess around and get caught on a Thursday night in Pullman. Pac-12's got some awful real estate. By the way, like that's something that doesn't get talked about enough. LA and the Bay are really carrying some really bad real estate.
They don't want to go to Washington State.
No, they don't.
No one wants Washington State.
The real estate is spoken for. Now it's all about brands. That's what you're essentially vying for now, which gets us to two key parts. What Notre Dame decides to do as all this stuff is shaking out, which is probably stay Notre Dame. And to me, the most intriguing part, we can talk about what Clemson wants. We can talk about what Florida State wants. You know who's going to keep this whole thing together? North Carolina.
Yeah.
North Carolina's going to keep this whole thing together. State fans don't want to hear it. Duke fans don't want to hear it. But Duke better be cool with North Carolina because they're going to be a package deal wherever they go because of the basketball brands that lifts each other up. But hear me out on this, Bomani, because I'm going to bring back Local Bo. I need Local Bo. Let's go back to 2005, 2006 timeframe. If you're Duke, are you ready for what happened with Coach K's last season? All right, you had Carolina come to your building, ruin Coach K's special night. You then go to New Orleans, and Carolina literally ends the GOAT's career in a Final Four loss. And now it's entirely possible that North Carolina is going to look at Duke and go, hey, guys, so you know who's going to save your ass? Us. You owe us. We demoralized you. We ruined everything about this rivalry. And then now, who's daddy? You talk about the two daddies? Now Carolina can tell Duke, who's really daddy now? Because you're going to come with us to the Big Ten. Because the Big Ten can elevate that basketball rivalry into a position that works for them. Does that track for you?
It tracks up until one point.
Okay.
My brain cannot imagine a 30,000 seat football stadium in the Big Ten.
What's Northwestern's?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's bigger than that. That's the thing about the Pac-12. The Pac-12's got this handful of like 35,000 seat stadiums. Like I think the smallest one in the SEC is around 60 or somewhere in there. Like to be befitting of the caliber of playing Big Ten football, even with the changes that Duke made in the Cutcliffe era, they'd have to like make some real changes. But the ACC, I agree with you. The brand that it has that somebody else really wants is North Carolina, and they live up to the academic standards of the Big Ten, which is a non-insignificant factor in this discussion, is what the Big Ten academic brand is. Even if you think the ACC has better schools, it ain't the same brand. The Big Ten brand's a big thing. They look at North Carolina. They look at Virginia. Mm-hmm. Like, they might think they're too classy for – I don't want to get you Virginia people mad talking about that indisputable history. But
they could be buddies with Maryland again.
Ah, yes. You know, that like these things can happen. I think I do kind of look at the ACC in this as – it just comes down to what it is exactly you want to be. Because what the ACC still has, and this is why the ACC could still exist and the Big 12 can't. Mm-hmm. The ACC still has real estate that produces players.
True.
Like once the Big 12 loses the state of Texas, they go get Central Florida. They don't have real estate that gets players. Like Central Florida isn't going to be able to pull this off. Everybody in the Big 12 fed off of Texas. They don't have Texas anymore. They can't do this. Texas had to go to the Big 12 as much like Oklahoma did. Go to the SEC. Because they were losing players. Like the SEC is coming in and getting all of the good players, and this is the only way that they could compete with those schools for the actual talent. Now, is the ACC still going to be able to compete for players in the New World Order? I would make the argument that nothing that just happened is going to change their ability to get the players that they're able to get. They'll still be able to field reasonably competitive football programs. It'll never be a national championship threatening conference, and they'll get enough money to play basketball. Can they be happy with that? That's the question. I think they should learn to.
It's the OG. I'm sorry. It's the bullpen with Bomani Jones.
Bullpen changed my life, baby.
Chris Clark here on 99.9 The Fan. All right. Switch things up to basketball real quick because it's been also a pretty wild 24 hours in the NBA. Brian Windhorst out here dropping nuggets and clues for us to follow, and it actually all happens. What are the Jazz doing exactly with trading of Rudy Gobert? I mean, they're just dismantling everything at this point, right? If you're Donovan Mitchell, what are you doing?
Well, so this is where this gets interesting. They were in an offseason where they're going to have to make a decision. Is Donovan Mitchell the guy or Rudy Gobert, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the only way they could improve the team was by moving one. They made the decision, in my eyes, to trade the guy that's going to end up in the Hall of Fame for the guy that's going to be a very good player and put up a lot of shots, but you're probably not going to win with him, right? Yeah. Like, they've been hiring Mitchell's people on the payroll. All of this stuff has been about making Utah more palatable to Mitchell, which, by the way, might not work because it's still Utah. He might just up and decide that he wants to leave. But I don't really understand it for Minnesota. Like, do you think that Anthony Edwards, Karl Towns, or Rudy Gobert is going to get you to a championship? Yeah. Because they're giving up all those first-round picks in a way that you do if you think that you're going to get a championship. And I don't see how this goes. I also don't think that Karl Towns is a full-on power forward, which he has to be if he's going to play with Rudy Gobert.
Bomani Jones, HBO's Game Theory.
How do you like Malcolm Brogdon going to the Celtics? Does that fix their turnover problem from the finals?
It helps because they needed an actual point guard, and now they have a point guard. Well, the question is, how many minutes do you get out of Marcus Smart? Like, what are your lineups, right? Because part of why you play Marcus Smart and no point guard is because Marcus Smart couldn't play point guard, but you needed him to play. So it's going to be like Jason Tatum is, in effect, small ball four, who's not that small, but small ball four, and that's how they're going to ride this out?
If it's the Celtics, they're the fact that they played big and they played tough defensively, that's what got them to this point. So you either sacrifice that to get a legitimate point guard and you come down defensively, which seems to weaken you, or you just hope that the guy, Marcus Smart, gets better at handling the ball.
8 years in?
It's too much. How does that work?
Yeah, no, I hadn't even seen that move had been made. Like, the one good thing, though, about Brogdon is he's a dude that don't need the ball a lot. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is crucial when you start talking about trying to add pieces to what they have. Because I always feel like their whole esprit de corps is tenuous in that here situation. And so a guy that's efficient when he gets the shot and just takes him, okay, you can have that.
Kevin Durant goes?
Phoenix.
Oh, come on. No, Miami. Where's Did you not learn about your time in Miami that you have to find a way to say that Pat Riley is going to be able to pull this thing off?
This was all part of his plan.
Come on.
The question is whether or not Kevin Durant wants to go to Miami, and I don't think he wants to go to Miami. I think he wants to go to Phoenix. Monty Williams is his guy. They were together in Oklahoma City. I could make an argument they're maybe closer to a championship, and they are definitely going to be able to put together a better package. Like, if you're the Nets and you can get back Mikal Bridges, DeAndre Ayton, maybe Cam Johnson, and a handful of first round picks. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good haul. Yeah. Like, and,
three
and
first
it's a
round
pretty
picks.
Fair trade.
Okay.
But how good is Kevin Durant at this point?
I think if Kevin Durant is playing with Devin Booker and Chris Paul,
still be fine.
He's still arguably
like,
the best.
Like, I don't even feel
the,
like I need to give you the
world.
Rest of yeah, I don't need to although, give you the rest of the answer although, to that what, question.
And you got like, it for 4 years. He's one of the best scorers ever in the league.
Yeah, but
he's
Kevin
34
Durant,
is still viable. And you have him locked up for 4 years.
If you're Kevin Durant, do you really want to associate yourself with the NBA's cooler in Chris Paul? Do you want that?
I don't know, man. Look,
I don't understand how Kevin Durant does things because he was so loyal to Kyrie Irving, which is just one of the more like that's the one. Like, Durant's probably gonna wind up in Phoenix and it'll be cool. The mind-blowing one for me is what exactly is going to happen with Kyrie, because you can tell me he's going to the Lakers, and if he does, the Lakers are dumber than I thought. Right, like, you're not going to win a championship next year. At least you could do it with some peace of mind. Instead, you're going to bring this dude down here.
The
like, do you realize
is,
how bad it is for a player of his caliber to have to take the player option? Think about this.
Yeah.
When Al Horford left Boston and went to Philly before he came back, he had something like a $35 million player option. Al Horford. And he was like, nope, I will see what the market has to bear.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie Irving did not have the leverage that Al Horford had.
You can't date crazy. no matter how hot it is, don't try to date crazy. That's the Kyrie Irving story.
He's a piece of work. And Kevin Durant, for whatever reason, is just like, yeah, but he's my piece of work. And I'm like, yeah, you ain't got to do this, homie.
Hey, if you find your person, you just make it work.
I'm opting in. It's normal people make the world go, but it's the different people. That's why I'm opting in. Oh, okay. Well, I'm getting traded. I'll see you later.
I'm trying to think of a more colossal failure.
There isn't one.
Than what the Brooklyn Nets did, where you might end up with, you had all this money, they barely played, and then when it all shakes out, you might just be stuck with Ben Simmons.
Have you ever seen a franchise get torn down twice? Not once, twice.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
Twice.
It's pretty brutal.
No, to this level.
There's no silver lining in this. All they got was one playoff series win. And they were so close to really making something happen when you think about it. They lost those four games to Boston by a combined 18 points. The year before, it was down to how, you know, the length of Kevin Durant's shoe or whatever it is. Like, the margins on this are so thin. They really were close to maybe being able to make this thing happen. But instead, it is, in fact, a colossal, unmitigated, unprecedented disaster.
Bomani Jones, Right Time is the podcast, HBO's Game Theory. Hey, man, have a good fourth. Thanks for coming on and kicking it like it's 2005, 2006. I believe your hairline is the only one that's improved since that time.
Nah, sadly, I wish that were the
Hey, you still got something to talk about. You're all right. Yeah. You're doing fine. By comparison, you're doing great, babe.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later.
All right, out.